All right. Well, let me stop my music here. And hey, so this morning, why don't we just give some thanks or praise or prayer requests? Okay. So if you can just spend a moment now and turn our attention to the Lord before we pray. And if you want to give praise to the Lord for who he is, go ahead and shout that out. If you have a word of thanksgiving you want to share for anything, or if there's any special need for prayer.
Like to give thanks for a wonderful gathering last night online. It was
Yes.
great
Amen.
connecting with brothers and sisters and laugh and
Yeah.
joy. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Darren partied really hard last night. He couldn't make it to Sunday school this morning. Darren had too much fun. He's tired.
A lot of planning.
Yeah. Okay, good. Anyone else want to give thanks? Some praise? Some prayer? Okay. Any other thanks, praise, prayer? I always love when I start us by saying, Lord, I praise you this morning because you are. What is the Lord that makes him praiseworthy specifically for you this morning? Lord, I praise you this morning because you are.
Lord, I praise you this morning because you are a forgiving God when we ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
And Lord, we praise you this morning because you are faithful.
I'll give us about a minute for this, just to open it up.
Lord, I praise you this morning because you are extravagant with your love for us.
Lord, I praise you because you're a God who does new things.
Yes. I texted Pastor James about that short message he gave last night. I just loved it. So appropriate, fitting for the new year and where we're at, huh?
Yeah, I was thinking about it too this morning
Yeah.
that we are, I praise you, Lord, for you are a God of new beginnings.
Amen.
Lord, I praise you because you are always on our side.
I see Noelle right now. Every time I see a little baby, I just feel like, that we can get to praise God for he is the creator of life.
Yes, the creator of life. I praise you, Lord, this morning because you are the giver of life. Yes.
I praise you, God, that you've given us the Bible, your words, to remind us how much you care about us. And every time when I looked up that I see the bird flying and remember the word talk about that, how he take care of them, and he will definitely take care of all of us.
Yes, amen. Amen. The Lord
Praise you,
is.
God. I praise you, God, for there's nothing too hard for you, even through we think it's difficult situation, Lord, you make it for good.
Amen. Amen. The Lord works it for good. Hey, on that note, I'll also open up for prayer requests, but I have, I'll give you guys like a few seconds to lift up any prayer requests. That even if you're facing something that's very difficult, that's a circumstance that seems like there is no solution, what Janet said was, we praise the Lord because He works all things for the good, right? That's His promise. And we may not always understand it, but we can pray for it.
I have a special request to pray for Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why God needs to put this family into a turmoil like that, and peace for the family, and hope for her return.
Mm. Yeah. Let me share this with you guys. Some of you may not know. I was going to share it as well, Mabel, this morning. So this is Paige, who Mabel just brought up. If you remember, for maybe 2 or 3 years, we've invited Pastor Eric Tonis to come and preach to our at our retreats. And every year he's brought his daughter, Paige. About 2 weeks ago, she's gone missing. And we don't know what that means. There's no other information on this. But, you know, she's been missing for about 2 weeks now. I don't know. This one hits me pretty hard, guys. I can't imagine. And Mabel asks, we don't know why, that God allows this to happen in such a God loving and God honoring family. I sent this out on our prayer warrior hotline, and our deacons have sent it out. Milton is the one who made it aware to me. Let's pray for them. I don't know why this hit me hard. It's hit me harder than anything, recently. And it's just heavy, on my heart. So, but also I know this probably will prevent other people from sharing their prayer requests, but if you have any other prayer requests, I'll have some time for prayer.
Pray for Janine. She had the second dose of the vaccine, and she hasn't been feeling a little bit too well.
Okay. It wasn't that she's expended too much energy in the game last night. She was getting...
And it could be that.
Yeah, she was in pole position. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Hey, let me see if one or two of you have a burden to pray. And then I'll pray, and then we'll get the class started.
Father God, you are all knowing, you're omnipresent, you're all seeing, and we know that you know the whereabouts of Paige, and your spirit is within her, though she is apart from her family right now, she is not away from you. Mm. In fact, she is surrounded by your Holy Spirit, and she's surrounded by your presence. And as she is crying out to you, Lord, that you hear her prayers and hear our prayers. Mm. And we trust your protection over her. We pray that, Lord, that you, your hand is upon her right now, though Dr. Thomas and the family cannot be with her right now. We imagine the fear, the uncertainty, and just the just all these mixed emotions right now. Mm. Lord, we entrust that to you. We cast it upon you, because we don't know why, and we don't know how to deal with it, even as bystanders. Mm. But we know you are faithful, and we know that you are a loving God, and you're a healing God, and you're a powerful God. So we ask that you send your angels to protect her, to be with her. Now we know that in the spiritual realm, Lord, you can do all things. And there's breakthroughs, and there's protection, there's healing. And we trust that. And we want to declare that about you. We want to declare your character. We want to declare all that you are and what your son Jesus has done for us. And that you would push back the works of the enemy, Lord. Any evil presence, Lord, that your light will shine through. Lord, we it is heavy. It is heavy. These things should not happen. But Lord, we do, you remind us that we live in this sinful world, this world that is depraved and fallen apart and in chaos. And our hope is not here. Our hope is the kingdom to come. And Lord, may that hope be extended. May that hope be ever more present right now for everyone. And we pray for Dr. Thomas's family right now, that they are coming together, and along with their community and their church, coming together to intercede for Paige, Lord, to experience the power of prayer and the miracle and deliverance that can happen, Lord. We await for that, and we trust that you have a purpose, and you have a message, and you have that you will reveal yourself even in this type of situation. Lord,
yes,
we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Oh Lord, we come before you, and what do we need more this morning than to be standing, Lord, upon the rock? And not on shifting sand. Lord, we do need to declare and praise you for who you are. For how else, Lord, can we even get through, Lord, the day when we hear of circumstances like this, or some of our brothers and sisters facing situations in their life where they are in such turmoil? Lord, I am reminded of the psalmist, Lord, who cries out, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. Lord, you are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You are my rock in whom I take refuge. Lord, you are my shield. Lord, you are the horn of my salvation. You are my stronghold. And Lord, we call with the psalmist to the Lord, for you are worthy of our praise. And you are the one who has given us salvation. Lord, there are things in life, even the cords of death, Lord, that entangle us. There's waves of destruction that overwhelm us. And in our distress, we can call to the Lord. And from your temple, Lord, you hear our cries. And as New Testament believers, Lord, from within our spirit, Lord, your spirit resides within us and you hear our cries. Oh, Lord, we come before you this morning and we stand on the rock. And we thank you because we must declare your promises that you are good. And in all things, you work for good for those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. Lord, we intercede for Paige. We intercede for Janine. Just as a few weeks ago, we were praying for Timmy. We were interceding strongly for Timmy's dad, for Teresa, for Caitlin. Lord, we believe that you hear our cries. We believe our cries are important to you. And so, God, this morning we just want to come before you. And we lay it all down before you. We carry these burdens not on our own shoulders, but we commit them to you. Oh, God, Father, we pray that you show us your grace in these situations. And you remind us that you are working for good. Lord, thank you for being with us at this time, even in our corporate gathering, and as all the churches around us are even gathering now. Lord, we know that your presence is with us. And I pray that these verses that we study today would be all the more, even more pertinent. As our brother prayed, we live in a sin-destroyed world. We live in a depraved and wicked generations where you have called us, Lord, to shine like stars. And so, Father, we pray that you would let your words speak to us, convict us, and put us into movement in the way that you want us to, Lord. We thank you. We pray for Janine, who is recovering from her second dose and her energy expenditure from last night. And we just pray that you bring her into a complete healing and let her, being new to this particular local body, feel more and more comfortable and at ease that this too is her spiritual home. We thank you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right, we're gonna continue on where Frank left off last week. Let's just read it out together, right? We are here in Matthew 5. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. Here's my little title slide. It's just, I don't know, I spent time putting this together. Well, I didn't really design it. I just put the words on there. So just want to remind us that we are in the framework of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's read it together. If you're on mic or not, it doesn't matter. Let's just read this and then we'll start to break it down. Verse 14. You are the light of the world.
Of the world.
A city on a hill
cannot be hidden.
Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see
your good works
and give glory to your Father
who is in the heaven.
This is right here, verse 14. Last week we looked at the salts, and we had completed the Beatitudes right here. Can you guys see my mouse or not? Yeah.
Yes.
So right after the Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus jumps into, you are the salt of the earth. This week, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Right here. Let's just start right here. And I'm not sure if you've ever felt that this is one of the most uplifting statements of Jesus about his people in all of scripture. I feel this is one of those, I'm always gravitated to the psalmist who say that our heads need to be lifted up. I think this is, Pastor James talked about that last night, that our heads are lifted up. This is one of those verses to me that is one of those head lifting verses. You You are the light of the world, Jesus says. And especially in consideration that this is being spoken to a group of a very ordinary, a very ordinary group of people who are listening to Jesus. The same people who said that you are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Blessed are you who are meek. Blessed are you who are merciful. Blessed you who are pure in heart, the peacemakers. These are people who are so unimportant in the eyes of the world. That's one of the things that I get out of the Beatitudes. We are so, in the framework of the world, the people that Jesus describes as blessed are so unimportant. And yet Jesus says, you are the light of the world. So I want to give you guys a moment to discuss what can we infer from Jesus' statement here, right? Even just from these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words, what are some things that you can extract from this little passage? Let's not import things in right now. Let's take things out. What do we see? Let's share out loud. Do you guys understand what that means? But what can you infer? What can you gather? What can you take out of this verse so far?
So if we're light, then something's got to be dark. So
the okay, world is good. Dark. Right. If we are light, the world is dark. Yes, thank you.
And then since we are the light, then you're supposed to shine, right? Okay. By right. Light.
Good. So you, what was that word?
You're the source of the light in this.
Right, right. Okay, good. Right. So you are the source of light in a dark world. If there is light, there must be darkness. If we are the light, everything else is in darkness. Okay, good.
God has chosen us to bring his message out.
Okay. God has chosen us. Good. Right. All right. You guys are right on the line of some of the simple inferences that I took out of this as well. You and you alone is what I wrote here. Are, you know, all Christians, even ordinary Christians, are the light of the world. Okay, you alone. If we are the light, there is no one else who is light. Others are not light. As our brother had said, the world is in darkness. Right, that's what we get. That's an inference we get from this verse. And as we think about it, where do we get our light? There is no light in the world except the light of Christ. Okay, so I'm going to break these down a little bit for us today, and then we're going to get into the end of the passage. The world is in darkness. I want to start with this. I chose this picture because it's very, you know, representative of where we are today, right? I think that the world is advancing, and it's always been advancing. From the beginning of time, the world has been advancing. So even, you know, back in the, you know, 1300s, you know, people were comparing to 100 years ago of their time, a century before, and they're like, we are so advanced today. We are so advanced. But in what ways is the world advancing? In what ways can you as an individual be impressed with, you know, medicine and technology? Don't we have more knowledge than ever before? So my question to you, let's just ask what some of your thoughts are. In what ways is the world just advancing and it's so impressive? Go ahead and shout that out.
I think one of it is regarding like technology, how it makes things more convenient for us.
Right. Technology, yes, makes things convenient, right? We're actually Zooming. We are pulling something off that when I was in the business world years ago, I remember like 10 years ago, we were trying to do video conferencing and it just could not, it was so terrible. You know, we had the best technology. We spent thousands and thousands of dollars per office, per camera, and it was just lousy. And look at where we are today. Like, how easy is that, right? In what other ways? Like, let's get specific.
Like, what is advancing in like a way that's like replacing humanity?
Ooh, okay.
Like in the past, there's like factory machines, but now it's like AI. They can like predict like what people are gonna say. Right. Self-driving cars.
Right.
You know, like, they don't even need people anymore.
Right. Do we even need people? Right. Okay. Good. Ivan, I'm not sure if Ivan is on this call, but Ivan is like an AI. Big AI fan and loves that world. I know he's always shared a lot of stuff with me about AI. But I think artificial intelligence is something that is game changing for us. I think when we look at some of the technology and transportation and around the world. And I remember even talking to Linda Skews when she came back from China. She was sharing me all the advancements of China, like how remarkable China is moving with ability to effectively move technology out into their cities. I mean, they have an entire city. I think that's a smart city, right? So we, in a sense, it seems like, everything is getting brighter. You even look at this picture right here. This is like a female doctor holding in her hand some like shining light of technology that's going to help us, right? We know more about the human mind and the body than ever before. So then how is the world in darkness? Let's try to understand that. How is the world in darkness? We say that all the time, but it doesn't, from these pictures, it doesn't look like the world is very dark. In fact, we have more lights, we have more devices than ever before. How is the world in darkness?
Maybe some of these advancements lead to a light that's, I guess, like maybe I could phrase it as artificial light. Mm-hmm. Okay. That there's limits, but also, you know, as like the verse says, like when you are the light, we are the light because our source comes from the true light.
Okay, right. So how is the world in darkness? Yes, they have artificial light.
Maybe they don't know they're in darkness.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Okay. Hey, at least as long as I'm not committing murder, I'm not stealing, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, you know what our society has been, has tolerated, right? Like homosexuality, stuff like that.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe people don't know that they're in darkness, that there's sex on TV, there's, you know, homosexuality. Hey, as long as I don't steal and murder, I'm a good person then.
Right. You know, okay. So I like the point that you're making that being in darkness, there is a qualifier in there, you're saying, right? It's understood that if you're in darkness, you may not know you're in darkness, right? So, okay. But what is this darkness?
I want to, you know, build on what Bob just said.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of all the advancement, human being become more prideful.
Mm-hmm.
And more self righteous, like feel like I know what's right, what's wrong.
Yes.
And going back to the previous question, I know brothers and sisters comment on the medicine and technology advancement.
Right.
But I don't, I know not everyone agrees with this, but personally, I do think society, even in terms of, you know, those social justice, you know, how you treat people with respect and the equality and inclusive of the society, it is also better than before.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think so.
Yes.
But then at the same time, when we look back and then we feel this superiority,
right?
Like we know so much more in terms of the material world as well as the moral standards.
Right.
And I think that's the real danger of the darkness, like someone commented in the session, unaware. Like you feel like you are already so bright and you don't need anybody to tell you that you need to have a course correction as well. And I think that's the real danger.
Right. That's fascinating. Right. So yes, beyond medicine and technology, we have more knowledge about how to level the playing field. Right. We have a lot of talk, especially in the first world countries, right, about human rights, about equality, what defines moral behavior, right? And so what Yuen is saying is that in all of these things, she used the word pride. The more advanced you become, the more you have a sense that, you know, I know it, we know it, we are making progress. And I think back to just decades ago, when the talk was, or just, you know, half a century ago, and the talk was about, building peace on earth. Right, the advancement, the ability to try to build peace on earth with treaties and contracts for peace, for countries coming together to make agreements for world peace, and how proud you feel that you're making that type of advancement. It doesn't matter what country you are in, right? That's fascinating. And I think we would all agree that within this last, even last couple decades, last half a century, our knowledge in a lot of these things have advanced, whether it's on the side of medicine or technology, or even in a sense, morality is what Yuen said. The ability to want to try to achieve a human morality, a human a man-made, peaceful society, right? And yet, it seems that although our knowledge in all this has increased, it seems like all of this is less achievable than ever before. It seems as if the more we know, the more divisive we become, right? It seems as if the more our technology or society progression, we've experienced, it still seems farther than ever before, right? I want us to think from a biblical perspective. How is the world in darkness, right? And let me just show you. Let's just draw from God's word from here, right? In Colossians, the scripture says he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, right? Okay, so even in that, we can see we Christians have been transferred from the domain, a kingdom, a domain of darkness, and we've been transferred into a kingdom of what? Light. The kingdom of his beloved son, the domain of light. We've moved from one kingdom into another. There's only two kingdoms. There's either a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light, and we've been transferred over. Okay, that should give us a biblical framework. Romans chapter 1, I think a lot of you can think about this. For although they knew God, okay, although people around the world throughout the ages, they know God, yet they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Okay, notice that. Okay, for people who don't have God, they're the ones who don't give thanks to him, right? So that's a little challenge for us to be a thankful people to God. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were what? Were darkened. Acts chapter 26, to open their eyes so that they may turn or be transferred from darkness to light. And look at this, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Okay, this is Jesus talking, right? Is Jesus' words. So to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and to be forgiven and to have a place in this kingdom. Okay. We can see that there is a reason why, despite all of the advancements of society, why even though knowledge has seemingly increased, it seems like it's knowledge in all the wrong things. What people still care about most is not just the advancements and the knowledge that we're getting, like a mechanical knowledge. There's a reason why the world is still in the state that the world is still in today. The problems of life and living still exist from the beginning. Nothing has changed, right? Think about it from a personal level, okay? Think about it just from people that you know. There are many people who have a great amount of knowledge in a certain area, or they are very, let's say, successful in their knowledge and their advancement in life, and yet there are some of these people that you know that they are so successful, but they have a tragic failure on their personal lives, right? Within their own life, within their family life. We hear about people like this all the time. They have all the knowledge, but it's knowledge in the wrong thing. Their life is a wreck. Their life is still in darkness. Right? So what type of darkness are we talking about? We're talking about a spiritual darkness, right? We are talking about a spiritual darkness that leads a darkness of the soul that leads to the darkness in the way they live their life. That does not mean that they're not advancing or having, we're seeing knowledge being produced in the world today, but it's knowledge in the wrong areas. The world is in darkness. When we think about people like that, or as we prayed earlier for Paige, and obviously there, you know, I was telling Bex, you know, she kept asking me, "What do you think happened?" And I said that there's almost it's troubling to speculate. It's hard to speculate. But when I had, but she talked about it briefly, and she says, "What if she was abducted? You know, what if she was, you know, I don't know. She's 18, so I'm not sure if you consider that kidnapped. But what if she was taken and yeah, I don't know. For me, I wrote to our deacons to pray for this, and I said, I just can't imagine something like that happening to me. I used to always encourage Bethany to go, or not always, but there's a few times I've encouraged us, just go running outside, go running. You're an athlete. You know, you love to stay fit. So just go run outside. You know, I go run by myself. Mom goes run by herself. You should go running. And now I'm just even thinking, don't go run outside by yourself, because this world is just full of wickedness. People are who are such in darkness, but it's not even that, right? One of our deacons responded and she says, yes, we must pray for the youth today, because she heard from a relative whose son or daughter at 13 years old just committed suicide. So she was reminding our deacons, we must pray for the youth. The pandemic, the quarantine, a lot of the social isolation has been hard on people, right? And so think about those in the world without the light who are sitting in darkness. You think you have it all together. You think you're okay, but you know inside you're not. There's something wrong that is going on, okay? So there is a spiritual darkness in the world, right? That is looking at the world as in darkness. But what's fascinating is here is, you know, one of the observations that one of the sisters, I think one of you made, was that you, that we may not realize that you and you alone, like us as Christians, are the light of the world, right? Jesus says you, and this group of people he's looking at, Jesus' claim, Jesus' promise, what Jesus is declaring here is that the ordinary Christian, and what I was thinking about before is, again, when this is linked right with the Beatitudes, all the people that we talk about who are poor in spirit, those who are meek, merciful, pure in heart, hungering for righteousness, this group of people, who in the eyes of the world, I think we said over and over again, this is the group of people that is not looked on by the world as important. We Christians are not looked on by the world as the movers and shakers of the world. We are not looked at it in that way. Although Frank said last week that if you go back into human history and you look at all the marvels, things like the introduction of orphanages, the placement and the of hospitals and that type of care to the human need, a lot of that was motivated by Christian love to help the world around them. And yet Christians are almost never looked at by the world as movers and shakers. We are the unimportant. And yet Jesus says, you, Jesus's claim, his declaration here is that the ordinary Christian, okay, the ordinary, unimportant Christian, any one of us sitting here who has Christ, knows and understands more about life than the greatest experts who do not have Christ, right? That's a phrase that I was thinking about, right? So I'm gonna show you this concept that I was thinking about it, right? And oops. And I chose this picture right here. This is just a dishwasher, right? And when I used to work at a pizza shop, my dishwashing corner looked almost exactly like this. I could see myself right there, except that my gloves were a lot cheaper and I didn't have an apron. And when I had cut my finger open and I was bleeding and my boss wouldn't let me go home, I started to wash dishes. Like right when I saw this picture, I'm like, that's me, right? Would you believe that someone in this capacity, just an ordinary dishwashing Christian who has never read much of philosophy or not nearly as educated as others, would you believe that this person who has Christ knows and understands more about life than the greatest minds in the world who do not have Christ? And do you believe that? Do you believe that? Right? Do you believe that you sitting here You know, you don't feel that you're very eloquent. You're not good with words. Maybe you're not that well read. You're not as well aware of all the things going on in the world. You're not very bookish. You might not feel yourself as very intelligent or very important. You know more about life than some of the greatest minds because they don't have Christ. You have something to offer to them. Do you believe that? Right? That's what Jesus is saying when he says you and you alone, you Christians alone are the light of the world. Not the greatest minds. The greatest minds are not the light. You are. You are the light. And you have light. You know something and you understand something about life that they do not. Isn't that pretty remarkable? I don't know what you guys think about that. Any comments?
Yeah, I think, you know, too often that when we think of our assessing our life, we try to think of like how far we made it in society, you know, whether it be through education or the work career or even maybe material like accumulation, right? But even, you know, like when Jesus says you are the light, it's like you have something, right? Like you have something that no one else has and people can't understand that. And maybe that's the reason why when, you know, people of the world see like certain Christians with that joy that they just can't understand, and maybe in their circumstances that's hard, but like, why are you so happy, you know, in that area? Like, why are you so happy to wash the toilet? You know, that's like, nobody wants to do that job, but there's something about what you do that you value so much that they can't understand because they don't have Jesus. They can't attain that without Jesus. And actually, I'll rephrase that. It's not attained. It's given by Christ.
Right, right. Yeah, you said something earlier, brother, that's like, you know, we sometimes get caught up. And I don't think it's wrong. I think it's neutral, right? To advance. You said to advance in kind of like worldly stature, right? Advance in whatever the world deems successful. And I think that's neutral. That's neither good nor bad, right? It's in fact very it demonstrates a lot. And I think we need Christians in all spheres of life. We need Christians who are dishwashers. We need Christians who are in higher education. We need Christians who are in the C-suite of the companies, all over the place, right? But you said when we begin to be almost in a sense more proud or more finding more value in ourselves when we achieve these worldly things, and yet there is something else that we already have, maybe we're not realizing how precious that is, right? Just to rephrase a little bit what you're saying. I thought that was good what you said, by the way. Let me move on for time. Someone had said to me before, you know, asked a question. So how are we light though? In fact, I remember teaching on this or doing a study on this one time years ago, I was in a room doing a Bible study and someone said, we are not the light. How can you say we are the light? Only Jesus is the light. We are not the light. We cannot say that. And I said, well, I mean, right here in the Bible, Jesus himself said, and he declared to us that you are the light. But how are we the light? And how does that tie in? How is that possible? I wanted to read this verse for us because just moments later, right, in chapter 8, it was Jesus who says to them again, I am the light. Jesus says in chapter 5, moments earlier, you are the light. But then he clarifies for them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it is true, there is no light in the world except that light of Christ. He says he is the true light, the light of life. But it says, whoever follows me, whoever is in Christ, whoever has Christ, will not walk in darkness. So yes, we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the light. And now, ordinary Christians, you and I, are the light of the world because we follow Christ, because we have the light of Christ. There's an illustration that I wanted to give you that that I think is really appropriate. I think it really makes sense, right? So this picture is a real picture. It's a photo. This is not the sun. In my backyard, I take my dog out every night to go potty before we put him into the garage for him to go to sleep. And there are nights when I'm walking around and it is just pitch black outside. It's just dark. And good thing I know the lay of the land so I could walk around. But there are some nights where it is so bright in the backyard, as if there was a spotlight in my backyard, and I look up and it looks like this. It's like a moon. And I think you and I both know that the moon has no light source of its own. The moon does not give off light on its own. How does the moon shine so bright? Do you guys know? Does anyone know?
Reflect the light from sun.
Right. The only reason why the moon can shine and give us light is because it reflects. It's a reflection of the sun. Right? You like that little play on words right there, right? It's a reflection of the sun. This is all we're doing. Our light source is Christ. Our light source is that we have the light of life. You, my friends, even the youngest one among you, I don't even know who's on here today, but it could be Bethany, Elise, I don't know if Ryan's on. The youngest believer who has Christ, who has the light of life, knows something about life that the much smarter your non-Christian teachers who are teaching you a school, they don't know. They don't have that, if you believe it, right? But it's because you reflect the sun, right? You reflect the sun. When is I don't know, here's the thing that just came to my mind. Like when is the only time when the moon does not reflect the sun? When is a time when the moon does not reflect the sun?
Never.
Never?
When the earth blocks it.
Ah, yes. Someone's tracking with my thoughts, right? Yes. When there is what we call a lunar eclipse, right? Or is that a lunar eclipse? Eclipse, right? When the world comes in blockage of the sun, then the moon cannot have any reflection of the light of the sun, right? When the world, you know, man, that's preachable. JJ, you and I can use that one day, right, in our sermons. So when the world,
when the world blocks the sun, S-O-N, you are in darkness. Is that the title of the sermon?
Yeah, there you go. Right. There you go. There you go. Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of plays we can use on that. I'm not sure, you know, metaphors aren't perfect, But I think that's fascinating for us, right? So let's talk about this real quick. And if we don't have time, Frank, I might just carry this into next week if that's cool, brother. Right? And then we got the law coming up, you know, maybe I'll work that in for next week. But let's talk about it real quickly. What are the effects of light? What are the effects of light? What does light really do?
Exposes darkness.
Okay. It exposes darkness. I like that. That's a very spiritual sounding phrase, right? It exposes. Okay. I mean, let's not talk in spiritual terms right now. Let's just talk in light. What does light do?
Just illuminate.
Makes you see.
Yeah, makes you see. Good. Yeah. I like the simple phraseology, right? Light helps you to see.
Gives life.
Yes. Okay. Light gives life.
You won't trip.
Okay. Yeah. You don't trip, right? You don't stumble, right? When there's light. When it's really dark and you don't know your way, you got to turn on the little light from your phone, right? So you don't trip, you don't stumble. Someone said light gives life. How does light give life?
Photosynthesis.
Yes, photosynthesis. That's right. Well, that's so fancy, brother. You know, you're highly educated. What's that talking about, right? So light allows plant life to exist, right? That's photosynthesis. And the plant life, what, gives off the oxygen that we need to breathe too, right? Okay, anyways, life. What else does light do? Come on, we need some scientists to speak.
Kills bacteria.
Ooh, light kills bacteria. How is that? Like light from my phone? We're talking sunlight.
I don't know the term, but people sell those things where you put your phone in a case and it kills them.
Oh, okay. Like ultraviolet, right? Okay. Good. Light gives us vitamin D. Anything else?
Makes rainbows.
Makes rainbows. That's right.
Gives warmth.
Okay.
And light also, you know, for whatever reason, right, for us, it draws us to it, right? When there's a source of light, we tend to kind of take a look at what it is or where is it coming from.
Yeah, good. So that's like a psychological thing, right? Like psychological, maybe physiological. How many of you have ever been in a place where because it is a little bit dark, you are starting to feel a bit afraid? Have you ever felt afraid? I know some of you macho men, you machismo men out there, like, fear, I scoff at fear. The other day, Bethany was at home by herself. Bethany, can I share the story? Maybe not. Can I share the story about the TV? Bethany, is she on? I don't know.
Sure.
Okay. So, mom and I took, the two kids out, you know, Bethany was home by herself cause she had to bake something. And then, she was painting an artwork that we're preparing for a lot of the elderly at our church. And she started texting mommy and me, I think, but she's like, stop it. And we're like, what? By the way, the sun was going down, right? I mean, it was starting to get dark. And she's like, stop it. Like, capital, stop it. The TV is turning on and off. Are you guys doing this? Are you guys doing this? Like, seriously, stop playing a joke on me. And we were like, no, we're not doing anything. She's like, shut up, stop. And then I'm like, do you hear anything outside? Is there anything moving outside? Do you hear any funny sounds in the house? And for some reason, the television was turning on and off. And she thought we were doing it through remote control to scare her, which is something that we would do, by the way, but we didn't. And I think it was the sun was going down it was getting dark. She was getting, you know, her mind was playing tricks on her. Sometimes, have you ever been in a situation like that? And what you need to do is what? What do you do when you're at home and it's a little dark and you're a little scared?
Turn on the light.
You start turning on the light. I don't know why, like, what does turning on the light do? Like, really, if there is seriously an intruder in the house, what does turning on the light do except what? Psychologically make you feel safer?
Also can, you know, scare them away, right?
Okay, okay, yes.
That's why we have all these security lights, okay, and cameras.
Right,
but
right.
It gives a sense of peace and protection.
Right, okay, good.
Because I want to build off of what Kai said, because even though we're afraid of it, we at least know what's going on. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of people fear the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If I'm in darkness, I don't see anything. I don't know what's going on. But hey, if there's a monster in the dark, like, I want to know that it's there.
Right.
So it's those
monsters, man. Turn on the lights.
Yeah, it's the fear of the unknown. Like, is the monster there?
Right. All right. Let me shine my flashlight underneath the bed, because I swore that there was a monster living under my bed, right? Yes. So even the sense of turning on lights, having light with you, if you've ever been in the outside, been camping, just having the warmth, the comfort, light brings comfort. I'm gonna, you know what? We've run out of time. We're at 10:35. I'm so sorry. So I actually have some scripture to show you about that, but we're going to jump into that next week. So let's continue this. Next week, what I'm doing, what Frank and I do is we open certain areas up for discussion, not every area. We obviously spend the time to do the hard homework so that we can help ensure the class doesn't, you know, have some boundaries, but we do like to open up questions like this to help us to process. And then we want to bring it back into what scripture says. I'll do that next week, first thing next week. So we're going to open this dialogue again, refresh some of the thoughts, and then drop into this text a little bit deeper, because we cannot end without knowing how this affects us and applies in our life, right? Jesus has a point in calling this claim out to believers. Jesus is very intentional to declare his people as the light of the world. There's a reason why the church exists today. And the church does not exist to remain insular, right? The church does not exist to just keep shining light at one another. You know, it's like everyone who has light, let's give each other light. No, that's not the reason. There is a reason why we are light of the world. All right. And we're going to jump into that a little bit more next week. All right. Okay. Well, I'd like to just end here and be respectful again for those of you guys who have ministries to attend to. And anyone, if you are led, I felt like I spoke a lot today. So if you're led to pray for us in a conclusion, or I'm going to just go to, I'm going to open up my gallery here and see, and I'm just going to choose the person who is on the bottom left of my screen. Okay. And the bottom left of my screen is Becca. If you're on, I mean, bottom right. I went to the bottom right. Bottom left would be Jonathan Chin. Becca, would you mind closing in prayer for us?
Sure, Pastor. I thank you, Lord, for gathering us all here today and remembering that when two more you're gathered, you're here with us, Lord. So we pray that your light, the only source of light, radiates through us today. You've given us this day as a new day of a new renewing. So we pray for your light to shine through us, and we pray for whoever's speaking the word today to be speaking you, Lord, and we prepare our hearts today, Lord, to receive your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister.